Good morning. Good morning. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to come and share with you, and I'm appreciative to Patrick. Patrick doesn't know me very well. He hasn't been around as long as I have. I've been here longer than he has in this town, and I don't know that he's heard me before, so he was taking a little bit of a gamble. I'm a good Baptist. I don't bet unless I know for sure what the outcome's going to be. I think Patrick's kind of that way, too. I assume he kind of maybe heard, ask around. But anyway, I am really grateful for the opportunity to be here. And the first thing I want to say today is thank you. Thank you because you have supported my wife and I and our two daughters, well, for about 15 years. Now, you all didn't know that, did you? But my wife and I were missionaries in South America for 15 years. Both our daughters graduated from high school there. And so while we were there, even though we had not met at that time, you were supporting us through your cooperative program gifts and through the Lottie Moon offering. In fact, the Lottie Moon offering helped to provide this unique New Testament. It's bilingual. It's Spanish on one side and Arabic on the other side. And I have it marked here to John 3:16. Tanto amó Dios al mundo que dio a su hijo único para que todo aquel que cree en él no muera, sino que tenga vida eterna. That's the easy side. The other side I can't begin to read. But we handed out, we gave away about 500 of these to the in the Arabic neighborhoods of Venezuela. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for supporting us as we were serving there to tell people about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please open up in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And we are going to continue looking at God's faithfulness to fulfill his promise. In the culmination of all history, we can get to look back at, because it is right here in the life of Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing story every time I look back and read again and think again about what God has done as he is moving toward the end of history, but as he has focused us on his son, Jesus Christ. It is an amazing, wonderful story. It's just fantastic. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? And I'm reminding myself that I'm on live radio, so I'm going to try to keep talking and not pause, even though I'm speechless at times. In Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, starting with verse 7, and she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there is no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger, a feeding trough." That would be a sign. That would be weird. "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.' And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let's go straight away to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all the folks who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back to work, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, we thank you for the wonder that you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to us, that he gave up his riches in heaven to come to this earth. And Lord, we thank you for the peace that you give through him. We thank you for the hope. We thank you for light. We thank you for the joy that we have as we focus on those things that are truly important. Now, Lord, help us to reflect and refocus again. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, his glory. Amen. Please be seated. Because of that great joy, that good news, we can know that there is, so we can be free of fear. The first thing the angel said to the shepherds was, do not fear. Now, we might think, those angels are real cool, the kind, the ones you can buy in the store, and they, you put them on the counter, and they look beautiful, these really nice angels, nice girls. As what they look like in really cool clothes and just real calm and peaceful. And, that's kind of not a biblical, true angel. For a better picture of an angel, you might think back of Sodom and Gomorrah. Two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah and took care of that problem. Or there was the time that Jerusalem was invaded by Sennacherib and his army. He had 185,000 trained soldiers camped around Jerusalem to invade. It's talked about in 2 Kings 19. And Hezekiah, good King Hezekiah, fell on his knees before God Almighty and asked God, said, God, Sennacherib has made fun of you, saying you're no different than those dumb idols made of stone. And he's going to try to come in, and we don't have anything like 185,000 soldiers to defend our city, your city, Lord God, and your temple. So please take note of what he has threatened to do. Take note of your people. We're trying to follow you, and please act. Next morning, the Bible says God sent one angel. And all 185 soldiers were dead. That's why the shepherds, when they saw this angel come to them, their first basic response was fear. Like you or I might be if someone points an Uzi or some kind of a fancy weapon right at me and they have a weird look on their face, I would be afraid. Now, I would hope I would act or say something really, really profound to maybe, but I would be terribly afraid. That's the smart thing to do. They're not fearful because they're dumb. They're fearful because they're smart. They know the truth. And around our world, most people around the world are aware of supernatural powers. Like Tony. Tony lived next door to where we were trying to start a church. Tony, being a macho guy, didn't want to come join our Bible study, so he would just hang around out in the front yard. And since it was on the equator, all the windows are open all the time. They're either wide open or they're just kind of open. But you can hear what people are talking about by just walking on the sidewalk. So Tony would hang around and listen to us talk about the gospel. The good gospel means good news about Jesus Christ, that Jesus came, he lived on this earth, he gave his life for us, he did die on a cross, but he rose from the dead, he's alive, He's alive to come into our hearts and lives and to give us his life, a new life. That's good news. That's great news. And Tony, we didn't know at the time. We heard that there was a witch living nearby. And we just to kind of make us aware, you know, and he wasn't a bad witch. He was a nice witch. Now, what that means is he didn't cast curses. He just did spells to help people with their love life or get a job or get well. And most of the witches there did that kind of thing. They didn't do the cursing, which is good to know. But anyway, and so I just said, we'll pray about this and we'll just trust God to work. And we didn't know that it was Tony. And Tony, he wanted to hear the good news. He also was curious about my guitar. I've just got a regular, you know, like a Gibson kind of guitar, and I'd play it. But most everybody there, they have a classical style guitar. And so mine was a different sound. Even I'm not real good, but it was just different. And so he would hang around. He'd watch and look in the window. And my wife is the real, excuse me a second. Got a brand new coat and a button just fell off. Tony started coming in after about, you know, a month or two. He started coming in and sitting in and would listen. And after a while, Tony gave his life to Christ and accepted the living Jesus Christ into his heart and life. He had heard about Christ, but he thought of Jesus as dead on the cross. That's what he thought about Jesus. And when he heard the good news, he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And when he heard the good news that Savior is Almighty God and can protect him from the spirit world that he was well aware of, he gave his life wholeheartedly to the Lord. And we found out later that Tony, the way Tony would do his thing is that he would invite a demon to come upon him and through him to cast out the problem. Whatever problem his client had, he would ask this demon to come in and kick out that other demon or whatever's going on. And Tony was very, like I said, very macho. He was very confident, very well-spoken. He was very gifted. I could never play guitar like Tony could. In fact, Tony started writing some Christian songs after he became a Christian. But Tony came across like everything's good, man. Everything's happy. But in reality, Tony lived in fear of those very same demons until he gave his life to Christ. And he gave up all that. He threw it all away, and they had a little party at the end of the street and burned everything, burned all his paraphernalia, and asked the Lord, just protect him, shield him and his family. And he found a new kind of peace in his life. And thank you for helping make that possible as we, unknowing that Tony was next door, went just to tell the good news of our Lord and Savior. That good news, God's faithfulness, brings us freedom from fear. That good news brings us also peace of mind. You can imagine the peace of mind that Tony experienced. But think about those shepherds, how they felt when that angel came, and then that choir of angels. I mean, you're talking about if one angel can take care of 185,000 soldiers, I wonder what 20 or 30 angels acting together could do. Well, don't think about it. That's kind of scary. So don't worry about that. But it was interesting that some scholars, as they look back, and scholars have pointed out that the shepherds were kind of a second-class citizen. They were looked down upon to the point that they were not allowed, no shepherds were allowed to give testimony in court, even if they had been an eyewitness. They just weren't trusted. And yet God Almighty holy, good, loving, caring, omnipotent God chooses to send his angels, and evidently they were the first people outside of the Holy Family to find out that a child is being born. So here are these second class people, and God said, I've got good news for you. Good news of great joy. And this Savior is born, the angel says, the Savior is born for you. Not just for the scribes or the really good people or the smart people or the powerful, for you too. And what a peace of mind that gives when we know that God cares about us personally. We started in Venezuela working up in the Andes Mountains. And that's where we met Tony and started some churches up there. And then we realized there's a lot of Arabs and a lot of Arabic speakers in Venezuela. And there was some of those folks were Muslim. And so we shifted to try to start working and focusing on the Arabic community and especially on Muslims. And so as we were doing that, we kept talking to people and finding out about how are you communicating to, we would ask Venezuelan pastors, how are you communicating with your Arabic neighbors and the store owners that you know are Arabic? And you know they were Arabic because you come to the front of the counter and there's two or three men, they're watching the Arabic cable station and they're just talking or singing in Arabic on the TV there. And all the men, they're watching it and they're talking in Arabic. Until I walk in and I say good morning in Arabic, and then everything stops. You know, they stop talking because what's this gringo doing in here talking to us in Arabic? And after 9/11, the conversations just about ended completely. And at that time, I shifted over to training Venezuelan believers and working in the Venezuelan churches to communicate the gospel to their Arabic neighbors and friends. Because they wouldn't even talk to me. They thought I was CIA or something like that, you know. And so as we found out that we were working also with the Druze. And the Druze are a subgroup of Middle Eastern folks. I you don't want to hear the whole story. I've got a few hundred pages about it. But we had started with a Druze family. That's how we got started working with the Arabic people. But one Druze woman, not many, but a lot of Middle Eastern folks, and especially Muslims, because they believe that Allah, God, is, they believe he's almighty, but they believe he's out there. He's too holy to be concerned about you, because we all stink. You know, we are all just sinners. And he is too holy to care about us. Well, since he's too holy to care about us, the average logic goes, then what about the jinn? Genie? Jinn? The little demons that run around and cause havoc and stuff. What do we do about them, since Allah is way out there and he might be too busy to protect me from those particular jinn that are bugging me? What do I do about that? Well, they have different kinds of things to do that they do to protect them. And that's not all Muslims, but some. And this one Druze lady had a talisman like this. I'm holding in my hand. And she would never leave home without it. Forget your credit card. This is much more important. She would never leave home without it. And in fact, if they had a baby, they would usually pin a tiny one on the baby's shoulder to protect the baby from the jinn. Some of you think I'm making this up. I am not. This is true. And in fact, I used to have the tiny one for the baby until somebody swiped it from my display. But anyway, there's a need for the Savior. There's thievery there. But anyway, And she was going started going to a Bible study because there was an Arabic Christian lady started having a Bible study in her home, and she was asking her other Arabic friends to come. It was just women and in her home, and they started coming, and this one Druze woman started coming too. And she was looking she had married a Venezuelan man, a Venezuelan Arabic man. He had grown up in Venezuela, but he was Arabic. He was bilingual growing up there. He had gone back to the Middle East to marry a girl from back home and married her and brought her to Venezuela. But she didn't speak hardly any Spanish, and of course, zero English. And so she was looking for some fellowship, you know, some Arabic friendship. She heard about this women's Bible study in Arabic. She started going. Heard about the Lord, heard about the good news, and because of the Son of God paying for her sins, she heard that God, Allah, she thought, but the real God really is her loving Father in heaven, like Jesus said. She left the Bible study that night, and she threw her talisman on the ground and said, I don't need that anymore. Because of the good news, because God is faithful to every one of his promises, we have peace of mind. Peace of mind. And then thirdly, there is peace for all. And that's what it says there. It says peace on earth, not just for the faithful few, not just for the core of First Baptist in New Boston, but for all. God wants to bring peace to all. In fact, God, because he is so loving, he cares more about the heathen in Africa. He cares more about confused and hurting folks than we care about. We can never love as much as God loves. And in fact, God loves us more than we can love ourselves. It was a reassuring thing as a dad to realize, Lord, you love my daughters more than I do. You understand them more than I do. Not that I gave up. I didn't give up. But to know that God really is our loving Father in heaven, okay, Lord, I don't understand why she acts so squirrely like that. But okay, and et cetera, et cetera. I can do a couple hours of parenting if you like sometime. And most of it was positive, I almost say. But it's peace for all. And when it says in verse 31, when Simeon is praying out loud, and Simeon, the wise man in the temple, as he receives baby and blesses baby Jesus, he says that you have come for all peoples. That's like saying all tribes, not just the Jewish folks. It includes the lower class folks like the shepherds. Now, I don't think there's any lower class people. I believe we were all created equal. We are all made in God's image. But sometimes we feel kind of lower class. Oh, gee, I don't make as much money as so-and-so does. And my best car is 8 years old, and I don't get the respect, you know, yada, 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 however you whine. And sometimes we just feel like God's gone on vacation. And we have these fears, like ISIS or cancer or politics or global economics, things beyond our control, things that are like incredible angels, can't begin to understand or comprehend. I get fear sometimes. The Lord God Almighty cares about each one of us. And he, part of the Christmas story, he took the initiative to come to us. That's part of the amazing part. He sent his Son to us. And there is peace for all people. A co-worker used to say, when she did the morning prayers at the hospital, she would pray for each and every one of our patients. That was her phrase. Each and every one. That's what God thinks. He cares about each and every one of us, each and every one of you who are listening. And God's able to make it happen between people. A doctor came and worked in Venezuela for about 8 years, Dr. Paul Seals, and brought his family of four. And he was teaching medicine at the university in another state from us. But he started being burned about an Indian tribe that was at the edge of the country. They were up in the mountains there, and the tribe was in Venezuela and Colombia, the Yukpa, Y-U-K-P-A, the Yukpa. And there was a few Christians among them, but very, very small percentage. And they wanted to get back into the mountains. And so Paul started to lead teams to go up into the mountains, and they would do free medical clinics. And I know your church is involved. A lot of churches are involved in free medical clinics around the world. It's a wonderful way to open a door, to start the conversation. Paul started doing that on a regular basis, and it was about a four-hour trek. They had to cross a river on foot, carrying all their stuff, and climb up the mountain and get there, and then they would stay the whole weekend. After the gospel was heard, the gospel was received, people started to come to the Lord. And Paul was having a clinic one day, and that after the clinic and at dark, and he was sitting there with some of the men of the city, of the village, and he was sitting with the mayor, the chief. He was the chief. We would say he is the mayor, but he's the chief. And the chief just had a deep sigh of relief, and the chief said, "You know, Paul, Brother Paul, since the gospel came," this is a quote, "since the gospel came to my village, we have no more drunken fights on payday. No more men injured or dying from machete fights. Because the gospel came to my town." The good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ brings peace to all. And you and I, we can be part of sharing that good news with those around us. It says that these shepherds went, and they may have gone in. What one scholar was saying, they probably were raising those sheep, kept them close to Jerusalem, you know, for sacrifices. And so they were going to, eventually they wound up taking them into Jerusalem, and they couldn't stop talking about this angelic choir. And thank you for the wonderful music today. But that great music was nothing compared to what those angels did. And they couldn't stop talking about it. And they couldn't stop talking. It was amazing. It was the most frightening and exhilarating thing all at the same time. And they were just talking and going on and about the idea that the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior, has come. And there he was. He was in a barn, and not one of those concrete floor barns like we have today. It was in just a barn, filthy. And there he was, and it was just... And they were praising God and wondering and talking about it. And they knew that they were included. And so, and yet there they were. They were they knew they were treated as second class, but they were just talking it up anyway. And we can help share the gospel. Your offerings, like that New Testament, this video story of Jesus that's spoken in standard Arabic, and you know there's more than one kind of Arabic, just like we speak good English, right? But those folks in England, they speak weird English, you know what I mean? There's different kinds of Arabic too. I'm being funny to you on radio. That's, you know, I'm trying to, okay. We had it done in standard Arabic, but with subtitles in Spanish, just like the typical North American movie that comes down to Venezuela. It's got English, it's got Spanish subtitles. So we had this dubbed in Spanish. I mean, not dubbed, but subtitles in Spanish. Your offerings helped to produce this and put this in people's hands so that a typical Arabic family, grandma and grandpa only speak Arabic. Mom and dad are fluent in both. The kids only speak Spanish. They all could read this and watch this together and understand it and talk about it together. And we realized that being together is very important in the Arabic world. The family, the large family, to be able to talk about these things together is so important. You help to communicate that. And it could be a simple a leaflet, a tract that goes out to, like I heard about one that a girl gave a coin, her last coin, to a missionary. And he took that back to his country, and it bought a one-page tract. And he gave that to a prince, and the prince became a follower of the King of Heaven. Or another man took one of these leaflets that we have around here in our church. We just kind of take them for granted a lot of times. And just, you know, a little brochure costs about a quarter if you get them at, you know, $1,000 at a pop. One of our Baptist pastors met a man in the elevator, a man who was wearing a really nice suit, a lot better than my suit that lost the button, a really nice suit, and gave him the tract and said, God bless you, this might really be of help to you. And that man worked at the United Nations, and he became a follower of Jesus Christ. You can make a difference in our world. You can bring that good news to our world. And what's so encouraging is to know that, like was said already tonight, God's purposes cannot keep God from accomplishing his wonderful divine purposes. And if we start that seed going, we will find out that he will keep it going. And my last thing I just want to remember is a man I call Raul. I don't want to say his real name because he's a Muslim leader, or he was a Muslim leader in Venezuela. And Raul was coming to, he was getting ready to kill his wife because his wife had become a believer. And they were living there in Venezuela. They had come from another country where his dad was the head man in his country, head Muslim leader. And Raul was a trained mujahideen, a holy warrior. And Raul was prepared to go into battle at any time, and he was trained in his weapons. But his wife got to know some Arabic women. Those women cause us all kinds of problems, don't they, guys? His wife got to know some Arabic Christian women, and she became a follower of Jesus Christ, and she was quietly telling her husband about his love, his grace, his goodness. And he finally gave up on trying to get her to come back. And he just decided, I've got to kill her. That's all I can do. And he took his pistol. And one day they were getting into it, and she was holding her ground. She was not going to go back to being a Muslim. And he took his pistol, and he was about 6 feet away from her, pointed it right at her. This is the pistol he's trained in. And just shot her. Except the bullet went sideways into the wall to his side. He realized her God was much more powerful than his God. And your Lottie Moon offerings and your offerings to the International Mission Board helped to provide training for Raul and how to share the good news with more of his Muslim friends. We can help share the good news that brings peace, that takes away our deep fears. Let's pray together, and we'll have a time of invitation Some of you may not know Jesus Christ yet as your Lord and Savior. You may have heard about him maybe for years and realize today you have not let him come into your heart and life as your Lord and Savior. And Rick's going to be at the front to welcome you and help you walk through that. Let's pray together right now. Lord, we recognize that you are God Almighty. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to this imperfect world, giving your all, giving your very life, for dying on the cross for us so that we can have forgiveness of sins and a new life. And now, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. And we thank you for this blessed time in our country that we can refocus on you. Amen.